Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. We had a great event last night. We went out to Union Public House and saw the Senate President.
Warren Peterson, who's on the show this week, or Wednesday, if you want to listen to it with Grant.
Yep. And then Andy Biggs, who of course is one of our representatives from the U.S. House.
Also on with Grant on Wednesday.
Running for governor. It was a nice event. There were quite a few people there. Some people you knew, Matt, were there.
So, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He says hi, by the way.
Okay.
So.
Well, there we go. I may have said hi to him yesterday afternoon earlier. So
yeah.
Possibly.
It was kind of fun. So we had a great time. So good to see all the folks out there enjoying a beautiful night on the patio at Union Public House. And Grant did a great job, as usual, which he always does. He does a great job Wednesday for us from
Certainly.
7 to 9, but he also...
The whole team does a great job, Ed. It's a great week here on Morning Voice.
It's been crazy, hasn't it? So that's good. Well, our guest this morning is Beth DeCiancio. She is from Tucson Cryo and Wellness. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
And well, we're going to start with the basics because I think people want to know, what is Tucson Cryo and Wellness, and what does it mean, and what do you do?
Well, Ed, thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to share all the wonderful things that we do at Tucson Cryo and Wellness. First of all, we're locally owned and operated, so that would be the Tucson part in our name. Mm-hmm. We specialize in cryotherapy, which is actually cold therapy, and there's so many benefits with cold therapy, and we also include another wellness aspect to the services that we do provide there. So we're really focused on improving everybody's overall health and well-being.
You know, I played some football when I was a young man, and when we would get injured, one of the very first things they do is give us a cup of ice with, it was on a popsicle stick, they'd frozen these cups, and you'd rub it on your whatever was injured, and you'd do that for about a week. You would continue to ice it, even though you would think heat would be what they would give you, but as an athlete, they were giving you ice at that point. It's kind of interesting. I always thought that was interesting.
Right, yeah. Right. No. There's so many benefits of cold therapy that have been going on for hundreds of years. People have been using cold therapy, to your point, for reduction in pain, inflammation, recovery. We at Tucson Cryo and Wellness have really taken it to a new level. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you a little bit about our chamber and how that operates.
Okay.
Our chamber is it's produced and made by CryoBuilt, and so the equipment that we have is actually the same equipment that the Minnesota Vikings use. So definitely, you know, at the higher end, and definitely getting the results that you want because of the specialized equipment we have. Our chamber is actually a two system chamber. Basically looks like a Costco deep freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we put our clients into this chamber for a period of 2 to 3 minutes, and in turn they get the health benefits from that.
Very interesting. So it's kind of what is the benefit then to the pain or to the chronic situation or whatever? What is the cold doing to the body that would create this sense that you're feeling better when you come out?
Okay, so your body goes through a lot of changes when you are exposed to cold. So when our chamber actually is anywhere between 140 to 170 below zero, which just to hear those numbers is like, oh, that would be impossible for a person to, you know, do well in that kind of environment. So what we do is we ensure that your extremities are covered. And when we put you in the chamber, your body goes into an automatic fight or flight reaction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the blood automatically, goes from your extremities to your core, where you're actually protecting your organs.
Right.
And in doing that, the cold helps with the inflammation. Mm-hmm. It helps with the pain. Your nerve endings are being, there's a therapeutic effect from that cold. When you exit the chamber, so you're in there anywhere from 2 to 3 minutes.
Right.
And that's based on the size of the individual.
The body mass.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when you exit the the chamber, your body automatically, again, realizes that now you're in a safe environment, mm-hmm. and the oxygenated blood, it rushes back to your extremities. So you get the benefit of norepinephrine, which is your body's natural pain, mm-hmm. Helps with the pain reduction. And you get the chilling of the muscles, which actually helps with inflammation. So you're getting the inflammation, pain recovery, and muscle recovery as well.
Our guest this morning is Beth DeCiancio from Tucson Cryo and Wellness. So what type of clients? Obviously, I cited one, which is athletes. I can imagine someone that's like a distance runner or pickleball player or something that is competing on a regular basis from time to time has a minor strain and so forth, where it might create some uncomfort, and that they might be one. But also people who have chronic illnesses are probably. So right. what kind of patients, if would you call them patients?
Yeah, we call them our clients.
Clients. What kind of clients?
We have a variety of clients. Our clients age from anywhere from 13 years. Our youngest client right now is 13, and our eldest is 89.
Great.
So we work with athletes, youth athletes, mm-hmm. People who are involved in sports, like you said, pickleball. We have a really big bicycling community here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. So the Tour de Tucson, a lot of cyclists,
golfers. I can imagine golfers, right? Tennis players, those type of people.
We have individuals who have some chronic conditions, and mm-hmm. and for those individuals, the benefits that they receive, they can't stop talking about. So conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis is something that really is benefits,
especially that mostly comes. I mean, it manifests itself in the hands and in the ankles and feet and so forth. And those are the extremities that you're talking about. And so the blood goes away from that for that few minutes, and then when it comes back, it's oxygenated, and it just immediately feels better, right?
Exactly. So you do get that rush of oxygenated blood that comes back when you exit the chamber, mm-hmm. and so the therapeutic effects are such that the cold has, reduced that pain. The oxygen, you get the feel-good hormones. You get the hormones mm-hmm. that help with the reduction of pain. So mm-hmm. it's an immediate effect. I've got folks who come all the way up from Green Valley who've got, arthritis, knee conditions. They come in the chamber, they leave, they're good for the day.
That's great. How often can you do it? Could you do it every day?
We have clients who come in every day.
Right.
Uh-huh. And they're faithful about it. But normally, to really get the maximum benefits, you need to be participating in 2 to 3 times a week.
Right. You come in on a regular basis and get that done. What do you wear? Do you wear a parka? I mean, what do you wear when you go in?
Believe it or not.
Matt's laughing at me. But
scarf?
Earmuffs?
I don't know.
Yeah. No,
so, where are the headphones at?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, we have everything that you need. So when you come in, you can come in your street clothes and we'll take care of you. So we provide, we cover up your ears and your head. So you put on the stocking cap. We cover the face with a paper mask just so that it supports warmer air as you're breathing in.
Right.
And we'll cover your hands with mittens. Your feet are just slippers and socks. And we have some of our clients, pretty much stripped down to the skivvies.
Right.
But shorts, a t-shirt. We want to expose as much skin as possible.
Because that's where you're taking the cold in through your skin, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is an organ in and of itself, right?
Right. In your body.
Yeah. And so someone who's how do I do this? And it's pretty simple, right? Mm-hmm. You come in and you guys take care of it.
You know what? We have a really fun time. It's quick. You're in, you're out. Like I said, it's based, it's 2 to 3 minutes. So you're in the chamber 2 to 3 minutes. So we'll get you dressed up. We try to make it fun. So we have stereo equipment inside the chamber, mm-hmm. and we're able to play the song of your choice. There's a big viewing window, so we never take our eyes off of you. It's if something were to happen, we would want to make sure that we got you out. That's never been the case.
Right.
So we are monitoring you the time that you're in there.
Right.
We dance around. we encourage movement.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we keep you posted on how much time you've got left, because when you're in 170 below,
right,
the seconds can seem like, you know, a very long
it's
time.
It's a tad of a shock probably, at right, the, right in the first right. first it, 5 or 10 seconds are probably
it,
a shock.
It is. It is.
Just like you'd walk outside in a gale in Chicago, right, and right. that first second or two is like, whoa, but then you kind of get used to it.
It's really funny. We do have a lot of snowbirds,
right.
And those that have come into the chamber, many of them will tell me that it feels like, you know, they were in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. So you offer cryotherapy, but what other services do you offer? What other things do you do? Well, we talked about a couple of them, but
So we have a variety of services, and they're all focused on wellness and well-being. Mm-hmm. Another popular service that we offer is red light therapy,
mm-hmm.
and the research on that and the benefits just keep coming and coming. Mm-hmm. So we have
can you do both? Can you go into the chamber and then come out and do red light therapy, or do you try to space them in different days?
No. Most of our clients will do both at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So our clients will come in and do one therapy up to three therapies at a time. So red light in combination with the cryotherapy is very popular.
Right.
It's paneled red therapy. So we have two types of lights. We have the red light and we have the infrared light.
Right.
The benefits of that are twofold. You get the benefits of good skin, good health with the red light, and with the infrared light, you get the benefits of internal
skin, you know,
exactly.
Dermis
so,
and
exactly. Yeah. So your organs that those light waves penetrate
right.
through. The skin into your internal organs, and it really supports the mitochondria health.
That's great. Our guest this morning is Beth DiCiancio from Tucson Cryo and Wellness. After a short break, we'll come back and we'll discuss more health and wellness at Tucson Cryo and Wellness. This is KVOI 1030 AM, Tucson's live local talk radio, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. The master is at work over there, Matt. That's fantastic. Thank you. Our guest today is Beth DiCiancio from Tucson Cryo and Wellness, a unique way to solve some pain and chronic pain in your extremities, but also in your back and so forth. Interesting
right.
way to an interesting way to combat pain, right?
And exactly. Combat pain, but also recovery. So sports recovery.
Recovery, right.
Is
kind of like
is,
what I was talking about when they'd make you ice your knee or your ankle for
right.
2 weeks, you know,
right.
every time you came into the locker room, they made you ice up for almost a week or two. Yeah, it was part of the cold therapy. Yeah,
right. And we also do spot treatments as well. So if you have a sore shoulder, like you said, a sore knee, we can actually apply cold air to that. We have a Zimmer cryo machine that drops to 22 below zero, so we can like get that knee chilled. And free of pain in a matter of 3 minutes. So as opposed to putting the 20-minute ice pack on it,
right.
we can get you that relief that you want in a very short period of time.
Some of our listeners probably have, like me, probably have from time to time concerns about inflammation and how and that might be in a knee or some. How does the cold therapy help in that way? How does it?
Well, it reduces the inflammation
mm-hmm.
Through the act of oxygenating the blood.
First off, pulling the blood away from the tissue.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
then getting it oxygenated when it goes back
yes.
to the
yes, and that and so that actually that reaction actually supports the nerve ending health. And so
I see.
And so you're
that's where
getting
you're getting the
reduction
pain. That's where you're getting the pain is from those nerve endings, yeah.
The reduction in pain because of the cold itself.
Yeah.
So cold itself actually supports pain reduction.
Right. And most of your nerves are on the extremities and in the outside. There are obviously some nerves on the inside too,
right.
but that's why when they do open heart surgery and things like that, they're, I'll say it's painless, but
right.
you don't feel it as much, but you get an operation on your hand or something, you feel
with
it
because
exactly. of those nerve endings
yeah.
are exposed. And so this helps kind of alleviate that pressure on those nerves then, right?
It does. It just overall reduces, you know, the inflammation at the cell level.
And so the same thing would be true if you have back pain, for instance, that it would kind of do that same thing. It would kind of draw the blood away from where that pain is,
right,
and give it some a minute or two to breathe, and then boom, back comes
exactly.
It.
And so it does. A lot of times with pain, you've got a lot of lactic acid involved, mm-hmm, and so with the cold, it's actually helping reduce that reaction as
right.
well, and so you do get the overall feeling. Plus, you get the feel good hormones,
right? Right.
That actually you get the feeling of less pain because of the endorphins, the norepinephrine rushing through your body
right.
as a result of
get a little
that.
Bit of a high going on that
yeah.
afterwards.
No, it's I actually tell our clients, especially the first few times that they come in, that they're going to experience what you would feel like of runner's high.
Right.
So you get that burst of energy, and that carries out through the day. So you're going
right.
to get better sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a better mood. You're going to feel calmer. So it's amazing what, you know, these
right.
chemical reactions can do to the
what
body.
What if someone is currently, say, in physical therapy because they've got a chronic situation, mm-hmm, and they've been in physical therapy, they've had a car accident or something, and they're in physical therapy, mm-hmm, or they're on a team, or they're playing sports and they're going to physical therapy to try and, you know, manage that type, mm-hmm, of pain. Do you work in concert with them then to make that happen?
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. So we, when our clients first come in, we ensure that, you know, we have a full medical history on them so that, you know, they are a good candidate for our therapies. And, you know, we set up a regime that, you know, supports, you know, their health and their recovery
right.
efforts.
Our guest this morning is Beth DiCiancio from Tucson Cryo and Wellness. I guess the immediate thing is a person would kind of focus on the cryo part of this, the cold chambers and so forth. But the wellness is also a big part of what you're doing, is trying to have a healthy lifestyle and to get people out of pain or manage the pain in a different way. So the wellness side of it is a kind of unique approach to wellness, right?
Yeah, I think so much change has happened as far as how people look at their own wellness journey. And not all Western practices are something that people want to embrace any longer. You know, mm-hmm, the constant medications,
right,
the, you know, using certain pills to get a certain, you know, effect, where we're finding out that you can do these simple things that really support your body at a cellular level,
mm-hmm,
and have the benefits without a lot of the side effects that you
right.
would get with, you know, typical remedies.
Yeah, like I've many stories of people who take a handful of pills and 6 months later they got to adjust the pills because their body has adjusted to them. And so it's an endless cycle of remedicating, and it gets to be kind of chronic, if you will. This is another way to approach the pain from a different perspective.
And, absolutely,
and
absolutely.
Try to manage it in a different way.
Absolutely.
Right? And let your body's own chemicals adjust for you, as opposed to using some from a pill or some other outside source.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the part of the wellness part of this, is to be looking at your body in a more as a temple,
right.
And let your body do its work.
Yeah, you know, and what we constantly hear from our clients is that through consistent practice in our facility, that they do feel like it, and a lot of times they just can't put their finger on it, but
right.
they realize that they feel more energetic, they have mm-hmm. less pain, they have better mobility, they look better, they feel better.
You mentioned something that I think a lot of people can identify with, and that is when you have pain, it's hard to sleep. And so if you can minimize the pain so you can get a good night's rest, then you do look better, feel better, and can embrace the day better. That sleep is so important. We've had a couple of professors from the University of Arizona in here a couple of times talking about sleep studies and how important the 6, 7, 8 hours a night consistently over time are important to the health and wellness of a human being. And if you're in pain and you're turning around in your bed every couple of minutes because you're in pain, then you don't get a good night's sleep, and that creates a problem as well
right.
for you. So
definitely the foundation, a good night's sleep to
yeah.
good health.
So, you know, a skeptic would say, why don't I just go to my medical doctor and get a prescription and go to the local drugstore and just try to take care of my pain by masking it. Are there any safety concerns? So when I walk into that chamber and I'm in there for 3 minutes at 140 degrees below zero, Should I be worried?
Well, you know, we take ample precaution to ensure that you have a positive experience, right, and that there aren't any dangerous side effects.
Right.
So we make sure that, you know, you're a good candidate for,
right,
for the chamber itself. We ensure that all the extremities that could be exposed that to frostbite are,
right,
are protected, and you're only in there for 2 to 3 minutes.
Right.
And at any time, if you're feeling overwhelmed or it gets a little too cold, the temperature varies from day to day. So our,
right,
clients that come in every single day, they might be in for 2.5 minutes. We figure out that's a good time for them.
Right.
But it's a little bit colder that day, or they're just not feeling it.
Right.
You step out at any time, so you have total control over the experience that you're involved in.
So you're locally owned and operated. Any thoughts about second locations, third locations down in different Green Valley or up, well, north?
Right now, we're focused on getting our name out there,
right,
and letting
That's
folks
why you're
know.
On The Morning Voice, to try and get
Thank
your
you.
Name out there. That's
I appreciate
great.
That. No, we certainly yeah, appreciate yeah. you having us today.
And thank Brother Bill for that. He is the one that contacted you and said, hey, we think this would be a great,
thank
great
you,
topic.
Thank you, Brother
Bill. Yeah. yeah. Well, great. So if listeners want to try it out, where do they go? How do they book an appointment?
Okay.
Where do they go?
So we are located at 5575 East River Road, and that is at Craycroft and River.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the Whole Foods Shopping
right.
Center. We encourage everybody to come in. We'll give you a good 10-minute tour and a free treatment. So this is a great way
yeah.
to
test it. Yeah.
You know, get to learn more about us, see the facility. We have a wonderful, warm, welcoming staff. So that's
It's funny
part
that
of
you
the,
have a warm, welcoming staff at a cryo place.
So, yeah.
That's great. Well, interesting. Maybe we'll have you back talk some more about some success stories of your clients who've had the treatments and are feeling much better now. So.
Thank you so much. And again, I want to encourage everybody to come see us. You won't be disappointed.
That's great. This is Beth from Tucson Cryo and Wellness up at Craycroft and River. And what an interesting concept. You're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back after a quick break with our friends from Youth on Their Own. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, here on this wonderful Friday morning where we talk about success stories and businesses and organizations that are doing good things in our community. And we have a kind of a combination of that this morning. We've got a great company that has been servicing financial needs in Tucson for many, many years, and then an organization that has really been helping so many young people in our community. We have our guest this morning, our Sandra Sagehorn Elliott. She is the CEO of Vantage West Credit Union. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Elizabeth Slater, she is the CEO of Youth on Their Own. So good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Well, thank you both for all the wonderful things you do for Tucson and all the great things you do for young people. Let's get a quick introduction. So tell us a little bit about how you became the CEO of Vantage West Credit Union.
Ah, well, it was during the height of COVID.
Oh, wonderful.
I know. And I was interviewed entirely by Zoom. Many, many interviews, but all by Zoom from far away. And I had never visited Tucson
wow.
before accepting the job here.
Well, welcome. It's a beautiful yeah. place, isn't it?
I feel so lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great to get up in the morning and see mountains. And even though we live in the desert, people don't realize that the mountains are around us and how beautiful it is here.
Beautiful views.
Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful people.
How did you get to be the CEO of Youth on Their Own?
I feel like some kind of magic happened because I have the best job in the world. But I was living in Tucson, volunteering a lot with teens in foster care. And I was a volunteer at Youth on Their Own prior to becoming the CEO. So I just really believe in the mission. And it feels like a stroke of luck that I get to do this every day.
My brother Bill and I, Bill's in the studio with us. My parents had 23 foster kids when
wow.
when I was a little guy. I was from the age 1 to 10. When I was 1 to 10, my parents had 23 foster kids in our house.
So that's incredible.
Sometimes only for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and sometimes a year. You know, one senior at South Point, she was with us for one entire school year. So
yeah.
that's a good thing to do, is to help
Absolutely.
The community. So mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about why Vantage West mm-hmm. Credit Union would want to. There's 1,967,000 great organizations in Tucson. I think they say we have more per capita in Tucson than anywhere else in the nation. We have a mm-hmm. ton of nonprofits here. Why Youth on Their Own? Why not pick some other organization? Why are you so heavily involved with Youth on Their Own?
Of course. So we have three pillars that we look at before we partner with any organization, and it has to align with those pillars. And they are education, housing, and economic opportunity. Mm. And so Youth on Their Own ticks all those boxes.
Got it.
And, you know, we're a community development financial institution, and that's a certification from the U.S. Treasury. Only 500 credit unions in the country have that. And it means we have to serve a certain percentage of low-income individuals and underserved communities. And we come to the table with products and services targeted at those individuals. We do financial coaching, counseling, seminars, and we reinvest back in our community. So it all just made so much sense together.
That's interesting. Yeah. Youth on Their Own, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you serve the population of young people, unhoused people, I guess, is one way. Are they in between couches or what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we're a local Tucson organization founded almost 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And our mission is to support teens who are experiencing homelessness and to help them finish high school and then plan for what's next. And it's incredible. The young people are experiencing all types of homelessness. So you sort of touched on this. Most teens experiencing homelessness are couch surfing. Right. So they don't have a home of their own. They aren't supported by their parents. But other adults are kind of letting them crash at their house temporarily. One of our alumni put it, the family will take me in but not take care of me. Mm-hmm. So they're still really responsible for their own basic needs like food, like hygiene supplies, stuff like that. But they're temporarily able to just stay on someone's couch for a few weeks, then they hop over to another friend's house, then another friend's house. So it's highly unstable and really, really hard to stay in school if that's your circumstance. So our hope is with the right type of incentives and support, we can get youth to stay in school and graduate.
Especially if you're couch surfing at Ina and Thornydale and your school is at Camino Seco and Broadway.
Absolutely.
And that's the only place you could get for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to get to school unless you got a car. And if you're on your own, maybe you don't have a car.
Exactly.
Maybe you're using the bus. Got to get up 3 hours early to get to school. It does make going to school say, well, maybe I won't go today.
Mm-hmm,
maybe
absolutely.
I'll go do something else. This unhoused problem we have not only here in Tucson, but across the nation, I guess, and around the world is it's a basic human right, basically, to be able to have a house and to establish yourself in a place that's permanent and makes you feel safe and secure. It's one of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, safety and security is one of the most important parts of human development. Why is the credit union so invested? Obviously, it's one of your pillars, but invested in trying to get people to be able to afford affordable housing and to get their starter homes going.
Right. Our core purpose is to invest in people today for a more prosperous tomorrow. And we believe that if people can get their education and have some basic financial knowledge, that they are going to be off to the right start and their chances of success are so much greater. So for us, it was just a natural organization to support because of, you know, we're really aligned on core values, on mission. And I think if you're going to have a deep partnership with an organization like Youth on Their Own, you have to have that alignment. Right. And I've got to tell you, it's not a one-way street, though. Mm-hmm. You know, our team members feel so great about supporting an organization like Yodo.
Yeah.
Because, you know, credit union employees, they're there because they want to give back.
They're serving the community and their jobs.
Yeah, it's important to them, and it makes them feel good to be part of something like that.
Actually, that was the next question I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about how does your organization as a group, so I would imagine that some of your employees are actually also volunteers and help with Youth on Their Own, on their own time outside of what you ask them to do. They can go do it on their own, right?
That is 100% true. So we've done a number of different things. Last year, we did a day of service when all 500 team members volunteered on exactly the same day.
Great.
And a group went to Youth on Their Own and packed up backpacks full of supplies for the students. We also showed up a little bit later when Youth on Their Own moved to their new location to help load the trucks and unload the trucks in the heat. So I think all of that, you know, combined with financial contributions And then we also help process the stipends that Youth on Their Own gives to the students.
Right.
So a student, even if they have no checking account anywhere, not with us, they can walk into one of our branches with that stipend check and we'll take care of them.
That's great. And you know, I was just thinking here that if you are in a situation where you're a young person and you're on your own and you're been emancipated from your home, your parents or whatever the situation is, and you're couch surfing from place to place, saving and financial literacy and you know, worrying about your finances in the future. I'm worried about where I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm worried about if I'm going to get enough food. And so that long-term projection of housing and things probably is very difficult to grasp. And that's where your program probably comes in and helps them kind of settle down. Let's kind of take a look. Mm-hmm. Here's how much you get each month. Here's how much you should be spending. And this is how you can save some money for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. We're there as a support system.
Yeah, and that's an important thing because if they're not getting that in a structured environment, of course, some of these adults that are giving them the couch to sleep on might be giving them some of that kind of just by osmosis, but that's great. So how many youth on their own, I don't know if you can give me these statistics, but how many young people do you service in a given year?
This year, we're expecting to serve 1,600 youth experiencing homelessness in Pima County.
And so these are 1,600 individuals. And the reason that they're not with a nuclear family is probably 1,600 different reasons, too. It's probably
yes,
a lot.
Yes, but there are some trends, and we do a criteria for YODO is that a youth needs to be on their own through no choice of their own. So we're not trying to encourage youth to run away from safe homes because they have strict parents or something, but mostly they experience some kind of severe conflict in their home, and their parent kicks them out of the house.
Right.
Unfortunately, it happens pretty
more
often.
More than you might think.
Yeah. Right. And so we are there. Sometimes it's just for a temporary period of time, but usually a youth comes into our program around their sophomore, junior, senior year of high school, and then we're with them through graduation.
Right, until they turn 18 and they begin to be a young adult and on their own, youth on their own. There you go. Our guests this morning are Sandra Sagehorn Elliott, the CEO of Vantage West Credit Union, and Elizabeth Slater, the CEO of Youth on Their Own. This is The Morning Voice. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about how you might be able to help support youth on their own, just like Vantage West Credit Union does. This is KVOI 1030 AM, Tucson's live local talk, and you are listening to The Morning Voice.
Don't forget, you can follow along with us, 1030 The Voice on Facebook or 1030 The Voice on YouTube. You can see your voice, even in these hot summer months.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. Our guests this morning are Sandra Sagehorn Elliott. She is the CEO of Vantage West Credit Union. Good morning again.
Good morning.
And Elizabeth Slater, she's the CEO of Youth on Their Own. This is great. We've got two CEOs here, and I'm Matt. What are we? Let's give ourselves a title.
You're the CEO of Ackerley.
Okay, we'll make that.
I'm the CEO of this room for a few hours.
So we're talking about Youth on Their Own. What a great organization in Tucson, about 40 years, four decades old, and providing some security for some young people who are in a circumstance that's not of their own making. But they're trying to make it in our world and become a productive citizen. And so anything we can do to push them along and get them to be walking through life in a positive direction, that's a good thing. So can you just give us a couple of things of the support services that you do provide? You did talk a little bit about, backpacks full of school supplies and trying to get them some housing that will help them. But can you kind of just walk, if you found one of these 1,600 people a year that needs some help, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're very focused on education attainment because if a young person does not achieve that high school diploma, they are four times more likely to experience homelessness as an adult. It's a well-established pattern.
Right.
So our goal is to keep them in school and make it all the way to graduation.
You know, as a professor at the University of Arizona for the last 35 years, I tell my students that, you know, they can take away your health, they can take away your car, they can take away your house, they can take away your marriage, they can take away your kids, they can take away all sorts, they can't take away your education.
Absolutely.
And once you get that education, it's with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and a lot of doors open. You can move on to higher education. You can have a higher paying job. You can do a trade program. It just opens opportunity for them.
Right.
So
it also gives you hope, too, which is something that these kids need, probably is a hope for the future.
Absolutely.
With some education, I can kind of see the landscape of where I'm going to be heading.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if you are a teenager experiencing homelessness, you are not likely to graduate high school. In the state of Arizona, only about 50% of homeless youth will graduate. Mm. But in youth on their own, 93% of our seniors graduate. So it's very high. So the three things that we do, one is we incentivize going to school. The reason homeless teens drop out of high school is to work. So we try to put a financial incentive on being at school instead. And so Sandra referenced our educational stipend. They can earn a stipend from us every month that's based on how many days they go to school. And that is the financial lifeline that keeps them, that makes school possible for them.
Where does that money come from?
We raise it privately. So we are supported by individual private donors. We don't receive any federal funding. Mm-hmm. So individuals kind of believing in this model make a financial contribution to us, and then we are able to pay those stipends to youth.
I would assume that this is just an assumption of mine, that your 500 employees, that many of them probably give to youth on their own through your internal giving process, but also a lot of your members who are customers of Vantage West, you talk to them and they probably donate too. So you're probably a good conduit for people supporting youth on their own.
Yeah, we work really hard to bring attention to the organizations that we support, like Youth on Their Own, through our social media, websites, signage and branches, just to raise that awareness.
This is an example. You know, your folks reached out to us and said, hey, we've got a great story here. And it wasn't to come in and necessarily talk about how great Vantage West is, although you are a great company. It was to talk about a great organization that you're combined with. And I thought that was an interesting approach of how your folks reached out to us and said, we want to tell a story. This is all about. By the way, if anybody has a story and you want to tell it, call the Morning Voice, and we'll call Matt, and we'll get you on the air, because we think these stories are so compelling. And so, speaking of stories, could you share with us a story of a success of a student or a young person who was on their own, and how that changed their life for getting involved with you guys?
Sure. We had a wonderful woman in our program, named Elizabeth Camarillo Gutierrez. She became on her own her sophomore year in high school, and she did couch surf for a couple years, and then she also lived on her own as a senior. And so we were able to support her and help her finish high school. She did exceptionally well in school. She went on to the University of Pennsylvania, where she graduated. And then she worked in finance at Wells Fargo, and she also worked for Google or Meta for a while. And she's returning to share her own story. She, a couple years ago, published a memoir called My Side of the River, which is an excellent book and really kind of gives people a real insight to what it feels like to go through that as a teenager, to be on your own. What caused it? What does it feel like day to day to try to be relying on the goodwill of other adults to have a roof over your head temporarily as you're couch surfing? And then what it takes to persevere, because it's very hard and there are so many barriers, but there's this internal drive that young people have to change their circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really empowering story about how she was able to do that. And she's just a great spokesperson and a great supporter of other young people that are going through the similar thing that
That's
she did.
That's great. A great story. And kudos to you and your organization for being able to provide that impetus to make those success stories. Speaking of success, this show is called Success, this first hour, because we like to celebrate the good things going on in the city of Tucson. And so Sandra Sagehorn Elliott, the CEO of Vantage West, how do you define success?
I think making a meaningful and lasting impact.
Great.
Right? And so that's why we certainly donate to youth on their own. But I think going deeper as a business and forming a long-term partnership has a lot more meaning, and you can make a much larger impact in the community.
That's fantastic. And how about you as the CEO of Youth on Their Own, Elizabeth Slater, how do you define success?
For me, it's not just what we're doing, but it's how we're doing it. So people feeling aligned with a mission, feeling really respected, especially the youth that we serve. We try to provide services with dignity. So I feel like success for me is when we're able to achieve the goal and people feel good about the way that we did it.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, this is really an important part of our community coming together and providing that safety net, if you will, for these young people. They are our future. And 1,600 is a lot of students that you're helping over the course of a year. So thank you for your good work. Thank you for your support and the good things you're doing. And welcome to Tucson. I know you've been here for 5 years, but welcome and being part. I'm a lifelong Tucsonan, so I get to say welcome to my city. Just take your trash when you leave is what I always say to people. So. Thank you both very much. This is The Morning Voice. That was Sandra Sagehorn Elliott, CEO of Vantage West, and Elizabeth Slater from Youth on Their Own. Two great organizations in Tucson with a lot of success. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back with Wonder after the break. Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of The Morning Voice. This is the second hour where we talk about Wonder, the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Our Friday second hour show is brought to you by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. And we call it Wonder because it talks about the wonderful things going on at the University of Arizona. Well, one of those things that went on and has a lot of history in Arizona is that one of the very first vineyard in southern Arizona came about because of a gentleman by the name of Gordon Dutt. And we're going to talk a little bit about his history with the University of Arizona with our good friend Lori Reynolds, who is the winemaker and owner of Harvest Fest Sonoyta Vineyards, where this tomorrow is Harvest Fest, which is one of their big festivals. Good morning, Lori. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good to see you in your beautiful beautiful background of the beautiful Sonoyta Vineyards winery warehouse that you have there. You have such a beautiful facility. God was good to us, burned down your place, and you were able to rebuild it with a beautiful, you have a beautiful facility now.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about Gordon Dutt. Who was Gordon Dutt, and why is Dr. Gordon Dutt, why is he an important person in the history of vineyards and winemaking in southern Arizona?
Well, Dr. Gordon Dutt, my grandpa, was where the wine industry restarted. We actually had a very thriving wine industry, but all pre-Prohibition. Prohibition wiped it out, and it wasn't until the mid to late 60s that our state was looking to redo the wine industry. We were losing our table grape industry due to farmers selling out to developers. And my grandpa was like, well, if table grapes will grow in Arizona, wine grapes will grow in Arizona. And Governor Babbitt was the one who came to the U of A to even initiate all of these questions, since, of course, the University of Arizona is our ag school. And that was the big question. Can we grow wine grapes? Because historically we were. And so Grandpa went around the state testing soils, and we're out here an hour south of Tucson because the soil was very conducive, as well as our little microclimate here. Being at 5,000 foot elevation, we have very, very moderate temperatures here, and we have a big diurnal shift in temperature. We'll have a really big, nice, growing warm day, but then it's going to drop 20 to 30 degrees once that sun goes down, and which promotes really nice, well-balanced grapes.
So we say that you're Arizona's oldest commercial vineyard of and so how long, when was that when Gordon Dutt was establishing the vineyard? And then, of course, since then, there's been several dozen that have popped up in both in Elgin and Sonoyta, but also in Wilcox and some other places. But how long have you been established there in Elgin?
1978.
So my math on that, Matt's better at math than I am. How long is it? That's, I don't know how long that is. Matt, how long is 78 and so it's 25 plus 22?
47.
47 years, okay, yeah. I'm glad I'm looking at you, because I'm like, I have no idea how many years that is, and I should know that. You've been hosting Harvest Fest. You have three major festivals a year, and Harvest Fest is one of those important ones where the grapes are coming in from their beautiful monsoon rains, and they've gotten their plump and juicy on the vine, and you bring them in and do Harvest Fest. So tell us a little bit some exciting things that are going to be happening at Harvest Fest tomorrow.
I honestly think the most fun thing that we do at Harvest Fest is our grape stomping. So people come dressed up as Lucy and Ethel and Ricky, and it is just a good time. We pre-harvest about 800 pounds of grapes, and we just let people go to town on them, like just keep a jump in. Some people love to wear white because then you can stain your dress, I guess, or your shirt with the grapes that we harvest. But yeah, that is honestly one of my most favorite things that we do at Harvest Fest is the grape stomp and seeing the little kids that their parents force them to get and put the grapes, and then the people dressed up. And it's really a lot of fun. The whole day is fun, 10 to 5. It's just, it's going to be a lot of fun all day, hanging out, listening to music,
all right,
eating.
You've had a couple of challenging times, you know, when the fire came through, and then also the deer and some other natural disasters that have kind of affected the growth of the grapes and the harvest. How is the harvest this year? How are the grapes, and how did it go this year?
You know, it's an okay harvest this year. We had, of course, it was a really, really, really dry winter, and we did not get very much rain throughout southern Arizona. So, of course, we had another deer problem. I wasn't the only vineyard with some deer. We lost about three and a half acres of grapes to the deer, but they didn't have anything else to eat. So, they're going to break in anyway. And so we had that little bit of an issue. But once the rain started down here, monsoon has been really great for us so far. So I'm not going to complain. We had a really nice rainfall last night. So we're harvesting those grapes for Harvest Fest as you speak. Right. So that's going on right now. But no, it's okay. We've lost, because of the deer, we lost a lot of our whites, but we still have quite a bit of reds still on the vines. So we're doing all right.
What you're telling me is those deer are discriminatory. They're discriminating. They like to have the white grapes as opposed to the red grapes, huh? So a little more.
Well, no, they're kind of funny. They kind of start. I mean, they're deer, so they kind of start on the ones that are closest to the fence.
Fence, right?
And so they do. I will say they do love Petite Syrah. They do have very discriminating taste.
Yeah,
it is definitely one of our most expensive varieties.
So
I
do
grow.
I.
They definitely go for that one.
Yeah, so do I. I do have to say that it is amazing to watch them jump over the fence. I mean, to have the ability to, you have a pretty high fence, and yet they're still able to jump over it. When you're hungry and you need something to eat, and you see some grapes on the other side, you're going to get over that fence one way or another. So,
yeah, one way or another, they're coming through. I mean, we have, it's about 7.5 to 8 feet is what we have going around, but the top of it is all barbed wire. So they're like ninja deer. They can, like, I'm telling you, it's like Matrix style going through barbed wire. I'm like, how did they even get in here? But there they are.
Yeah. Some of the other wineries down there will be with you, and one distillery. So tell us who is going to be joining you tomorrow and featuring their wines as well as what you have at Sonoyta Vineyards.
Oh, absolutely. So we're going to have the Elgin Winery, the Elgin Distillery, Lightning Ridge Cellars, Twisted Union Wine Works. We will also have Strive Vineyards, 1764 Vineyards. We'll have Desert Blossom Vineyards. We'll have Flying Kite Vineyards. And I'm going through. Wilhelm Family Vineyards.
Oh yeah, right, so. Right. And we do say that this is a rain or shine event. So if we do have a little monsoon action, typically the monsoons don't last all day. Anyways, they just come in and shower for a little bit and make it cool it down just a bit and then move on. But rain or shine, because you have that beautiful new facility, it's actually your old facility that's been retooled into a beautiful thing. Your wineries can be inside, and people can be inside the place where you're storing the wine and so forth, but there's places for tables to be set up, and people can be inside if it is raining. So if it's raining, come on down anyways, right?
Oh, absolutely. Don't be scared of a little bit of rain. There are definitely cows all in the pasture all around us, so don't be scared of the cows either, because they'll be, so just kind of wait as they decide to move out of the driveway.
Right.
But no, all is... it's a rain or shine, like you said. It might be, it's 15, 20 minutes of rain, and all of the wine tasting is inside. We'll have artisanal vendors out. We have a couple of food vendors that will be outside serving some food. But yeah, it's going to be a great day.
You've got some entertainment as well. You have a couple groups entertaining. Who will be on the stage for tomorrow?
I've got a couple of just local guys that are coming in. One, my main one that's here almost every Saturday, it's Jeff and Jill Driscoll. And so they'll be entertaining, and they sing just a variety of things. And then they have found a duo out of the Tucson area. And so those gentlemen will be here as well. Sharing all of their music with us.
What's really nice is that you go in and you sample a variety of different wines from the different wineries inside, And then you come out and go to the food trucks and get a good something to eat, sit down on the tables out there and listen to some good music, and then maybe go back in and buy some wine to take home with you. You can buy wine by the bottle or by the box, and you can take as much as you want, right? So there's no restriction on how much you take, right?
There is absolutely no restrictions. You can buy the glass, buy the bottle, buy the case, buy the 10 cases. We do not discriminate. So come on down and definitely enjoy and imbibe, because we've got, like I said, wineries from all over Southern Arizona.
What about shipping? Does Sonoyta Vineyard ship wine? It's hard to do. Yeah, but it's hard to do, but you do it, right?
We do. We use a shipper out of Mesa, Arizona, mm-hmm. and he's just a nice local man, and he has a refrigerated vehicle. And so he goes ahead, and now we can ship. Now we can only ship within the state of Arizona,
right?
And many Arizona wineries, especially small like we are, can only ship within the state of Arizona. Shipping out of state has a lot more regulations and rules, and for small wineries, it's not really worth the headache. But definitely within the state, if hey, you can't make it down, but you want to buy some Arizona Sunset off of us, give us a call. We do have a flat shipping fee. And other than that, everything ships out on Thursdays.
That's great. And that's become an interesting part of your business, is to ship wine to different places all across the state, along with you and your crew appearing at so many festivals and things throughout the course of the year. You're sampling at a variety of different places in Tucson and Southern Arizona, but also sometimes up in Phoenix. You'll take your wine on the road and let people sample it. And so if they can't come to Harvest Fest, they can still get it shipped to them later on in the year.
Yeah. Absolutely. You can get it shipped any week you would like. You just need to get your orders in no later than Wednesday morning.
That's
so
great.
That way I can get everything put in through the man's program, and then he picks up on Thursdays.
Fantastic.
So yeah.
We're talking with Lori Reynolds. She is the winemaker and one of the family owners of Sonoyta Vineyards. Tomorrow is Harvest Fest, Saturday, August 2nd from 10 to 5 at Sonoyta Vineyards. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what the cost is to attend and how you can come and enjoy and get some of the finest wine in Southern Arizona, have some good music, some good food, and enjoy the beautiful Southern Arizona climate. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break. More with Sonoyta Vineyards Harvest Fest in Southern Arizona. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Matt, I'm going to go down to Elgin, Arizona, Sonoyta Vineyards tomorrow and drink a little vino.
That sounds like a really, really good idea.
Yeah, it should be a beautiful day tomorrow. There's not a lot of rain in the forecast, if a little bit maybe, but not much.
The right time of the year, you know, you maybe just get a quick shower to get that evaporative cooling effect for the whole region, and it'll be a beautiful day. And, you know, when you go through those, when you're taking that beautiful drive on, it's one of my favorites, Highway 83, and, you know, you take visitors there, and they're used to seeing saguaro and ocotillo and cholla and sand, and they see these beautiful rolling hills and grasslands, and it's not that far away, but it feels like you've really stepped away from the desert valley.
It's beautiful, and it's green, right? This time of year, it's
absolutely
green because of the rain. The grass is beautiful, and it's great. Our guest this morning on Wonder is Lori Reynolds. Lori is the winemaker at Sonoyta Vineyards. Our show on Friday is brought to us by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue, historic 4th Avenue. They are great partners. Matter of fact, I bet, Lori, that Gordon Dutt probably knew the one of the principal owners of Caruso's, who was also a professor at the University of Arizona for many years. And then we're also brought to you by Hughes Federal Credit Union. Our guest is Lori Reynolds. Again, good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
So what got you into wanting to be following in the footsteps of the family and become a master winemaker? And you and your husband and your family now, your boys and girls and everybody in your family, their cousins and everybody else who are helping keep the family business going. What got you into wanting to learn how to become a master winemaker?
I don't know. My grandfather he told me that I was born to be it, but I graduated with my bachelor of science at the University of Arizona, and I got it in, of all things, I got veterinary science with a minor in chemistry. And my senior year, I realized I did not want to go to vet school. No desire,
right.
But I didn't want to switch majors. So I was like, my grandpa's like, well, you have a chemistry minor and you have all of this the science background, you can kind of, you should do wine. And I was like, okay. So my grandfather had learned that UC Davis started offering, they through their extension office had started a enology and viticulture program as a certificate. And actually a couple of the women winemakers down here in Sonoyta, Megan Haller, who used to be the assistant winemaker here at Sonoyta Vineyards, but now owns and operates Arizona Hops and Vines, as well as Carol Wilhelm, who is the winemaker and grape grower at Wilhelm Family Vineyards, both went through the program. So I came down here and I met with both of those women, and they just couldn't say anything bad about the program that UC Davis offers. And so me and my grandfather, we contacted UC Davis and I sent them all my transcripts, and here I am. I really enjoyed the program. I was brought up in wine. So I was brought up at the winery. I was brought up in the vineyard. So I really love wine. I love how it is a science and an art. I love the different flavor profiles. I love how each vintage is different. I love how it's very fast paced during harvest. There's not, you know, these are your numbers. If we need to alter or fix things, let's fix things while they're grape juice. And I love the aging and I love blending. And honestly, I just love everything. I love the tasting room. I love meeting people from all over the world. We have a world map in our tasting room that I've had up since, 2016 or 2017. And it literally has pins from everywhere you could possibly think. There's even a pin in Mongolia. So I love meeting people. And I love sharing my craft and my art and my science with anybody who would like to imbibe.
And you, as you talked about Gordon Dutt, your grandfather, Dr. Dutt, introduced, well, because of the soil and so forth, he was a soil chemist, and you have a pretty impressive range of grapes that you're growing down there. Obviously, the deer like the ones that are closest to the fence, but a lot of different wines. So you are producing a wide variety of wines, even though you have a couple that are your mainstays. You do have a lot of different kinds of wines, and then you blend them to make even more wines, right?
Absolutely. So we've got blends, we have straight varietals, and of course we're one of the few ones that does sweet wine. So everyone in the Sonoyta Elgin or the Sonoyta AVA or American Viticulture area will have dry wine, but not everybody makes sweet wine. So we are one of the few that continually make sweet wine for people that like sweet wine.
That's great. So tomorrow is Harvest Fest. It starts at 10 a.m. It goes till 5 p.m. Tell us how to get to Sonoyta Vineyards. If you're coming from Tucson or Phoenix and you're coming down I-10, where do you turn and how long does it take to get there?
You're going to want to exit on exit 281, which is State Route 83 that goes south. And you'll just follow that. And when you come into town, we're going to have a bunch of sandwich signs that say Sonoyta Vineyards with arrows. But you can literally Google Map us or Apple Map us. It's all correct on there. But our address is 290 Elgin Canelo Road, Elgin, Arizona, 85611. But if once you get on State Route 83 and go south, even if you're to stop and you're like, oh, my GPS isn't working, you can stop in at the gas station. Everybody knows where we are. So honestly, just follow the signs to Sonoyta Vineyards.
And what's the cost for someone to come and imbibe and be part of the wine tasting? How much is that?
Day of tickets are $30. And you receive 8 tasting tickets, a souvenir glass, which you can then use those tasting tickets at any of the tasting tables and wineries or distillery that is here. And other than that, you can you do that. And then Las Vegas will be here serving food from 11 to 3. And it's just going to be a really fun day.
Okay. What if you don't want to drink wine? Can you come down with a group and one of your people not drink and still enjoy themselves?
Absolutely. DDs, we do not charge for non-drinkers. So if you want to come and you don't drink wine or you just don't drink in general and you're everybody's designated driver, we're not charging you a cost to get in. We don't charge for children. So if you want your kids to come grape stomp with you, we're definitely child friendly. But yeah, absolutely. We do not charge for anybody under 21, and we do not charge if you're not going to participate. If you don't want to do the wine tasting and everything, that's okay. Come on down and enjoy the day. This festival will be the first festival we are having an after party from 5 to 8:30. So if you are camping with us, we have several people that are camping. Bring your own stuff to grill. We'll offer you the grill. Bring all your own stuff. But we're having an after party and then a comedy show from 7 to 8:30.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like it's a full action-packed day and something cool to do for lots of people to come down and enjoy. And
now,
you said
is Dr. Ed going to be telling any jokes at this comedy show? He's got a couple.
I do.
I think he should. But he's going to.
I do too.
Dad joke central here.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
You know, my jokes, people would probably think I was whining though. So
thank you. Thank you. I see what you did there.
Yeah. It's, you know, yeah, very appealing. So, I think I'm so great, don't I? I'm amazing.
You're always uncorking jokes on us.
Oh, yes. Here we go. We're going to have the dad joke central here. Well, Lori, it's always a pleasure to have you. We'll see you tomorrow. We appreciate all you do for the wine industry in Southern Arizona and across the state. And you're a good representative of a graduate of the University of Arizona. And, of course, your grandfather was a professor there for many years. So we appreciate Wonder. So I'm going to ask you one last question. When we talk about Wonder at the University of Arizona, we talk about all the cool things that are going on that make the world great. And I say to people drive by Speedway and Campbell and they see the red brick buildings, but they don't really know what's going on. What's one thing that's Wonder at the University of Arizona that you kind of think is cool that you and your family think is wonderful? Obviously your grandfather, but anything else?
I love Arizona football. Yep. So I love Arizona football. So my kids are now, I got a high schooler, I've got some middle schoolers, and they all play football. I had an uncle play for the University of Arizona football team, and I love Arizona football. So that's my wonder.
I'm right behind you because I am a rabid U of A Wildcat football. Win or lose, good season, bad season, doesn't matter to me. I just love to go down and watch them play football. It's very amazing. Tomorrow is Harvest Fest at Sonoyta Vineyards in Elgin, beautiful Elgin, Sonoyta, Arizona. $30 at the door, and you get to have some wine, sample some wine from a variety of different wineries. And of course, Sonoyta wines, which are really wonderful from the Sonoyta Vineyards. And then you also can have some food and some entertainment. And if you stay around for a little bit longer, you can have some fun at a comedy show and make a long day of it and have some fun at Sonoyta Vineyards. Our guest this morning has been Lori Reynolds, the winemaker and family member who's in charge down there. Thank you, Lori. We'll see you tomorrow and looking forward to having a fantastic day.
Thank you. See you guys tomorrow.
Okay, you're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll come back with the second half of Wonder and talk about WaterWise and the VIP program at the University of Arizona. Welcome back to The Morning Voice on this Friday. This is where we do Wonder, where we talk about the wonderful things happening at the University of Arizona. You know, we've been doing this almost 18 months now, and we've had quite a few guests on talking about the wonderful things happening in research and student outcomes and alumni and all sorts of different things that have affected by the University of Arizona being right in the middle of town. And I often say that people drive by Speedway and Campbell, look over at the red brick buildings, and a lot of people don't know what's going on there. So this is our attempt to kind of highlight some of the good things going on. Wonder is brought to you by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on historic 4th Avenue, a wonderful restaurant. If you haven't been there, go down and see Andy and her team. They've been around for 93 years now, and it's a beautiful place. And Hughes Federal Credit Union, our friends from Hughes Federal Credit Union, who are a great sponsor of our program. We have two guests with us on this segment. It's kind of a bimodal. We're going to be talking about two different things at the same time. We'll be talking first with Sarah Kobilka. She is a lecturer and co-leading the WaterWise program. She's with the Hydrology and Atmospheric Science Department at the University of Arizona. And you're coming to us from New York City, right? Or from New York, right, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm just about an hour and a half due north of New York City up the Hudson River, but I moved here from having lived in Tucson, Arizona. My husband worked for IBM and they moved him from the Tucson site to New York, but man, do I miss Tucson.
Isn't that the joke? IBM stands for I've been moved, so.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah. Well, that's a great corporation, and I'm sure you're loving New York, your assignment there. Also with us in studio is David Margolis. He's a doctor. He's also a PhD. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And so reason I said bimodal is because we're going to talk about the Water Wise program. And Wise, by the way, is spelled W-H-Y-S, Water Wise program. And there's a play on words there for a reason. And then we're also going to be talking, though, as well about the VIP program, which stands for Vertically Integrated Projects. And so let's start there first and talk about, if we can, Dr. Margolis, let's just talk a little bit about you being an advocate for the VIP program and the vertically integrated projects and how WaterWise is one of those and why this is important to the land-grant university mission at the University of Arizona.
Well, so let me start out by saying that the Vertically Integrated Projects Program, or VIP program, is really it's an international consortium. So lots of schools have this model. And in this model, students, undergraduate and graduate students, get to engage in really ambitious and long-term, large-scale projects that oftentimes involve multidisciplinary teams. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great way for student engagement, students to have experiential learning while they're undergraduates. And they really do very impactful long-term projects that help students belong to a community. They can impact the community really at a local, state, and national, international level. And they get to immediately participate in some really cutting-edge science and cultural work.
And you indicated that you are like a cheerleader for these types of projects, these vertical integrated projects. And so your job at the U of A is obviously something else. You do research and you do some other things at the U of A. But as in this role, your job is to kind of be an ambassador for the for this type of learning outcomes that these students have this exposure to, which make a difference in the world.
Correct. So I'm a big advocate of this. Getting involved in research early on as an undergraduate really changed my career trajectory and mm-hmm. what my goals were. And I feel like it is a great way to belong to the university and, like I said, have an impact on the world. And that's so important for student success.
That's great. So let's talk about one of those projects, which is the WaterWise program. And Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about an overview of WaterWise and how it fits into the University of Arizona's broader mission with the U of A?
Absolutely. So this project was started by Dr. Laura Condon. She is a faculty member in hydrology and atmospheric sciences, and her specialty is in hydrology. And I actually was connected with her and provided some support for her when she was working on her career grant, which is an NSF grant for early career researchers. A very prestigious grant. And I, at that point in time, was living in Tucson and working at the STEM Learning Center. And so we worked a lot on broader impacts and education components of career grants for faculty members. And so my supervisor, Michelle Higgins, asked me if I would meet with Laura because the idea that she had was something that I was able to contribute to, which was that most people do not find out about hydrology by going to the U of A campus and sitting in for a lecture or reading a peer-reviewed journal article. Most of the time when we're learning about water issues, one of our most trusted resources are TV meteorologists and broadcast meteorologists who are now venturing more and more into social media as well. And so rather than trying to get people to come to campus or to create her own social media following regarding hydrology, she said, let's have these real people who already have followers, who are already seen as trusted resources for this type of information, and let's find out from them, what do their viewers want to know about? What are their big questions? That's the whys part of it. Mm-hmm. Why does something happen that you were referencing before? And so we create graphics for our clients, who are these broadcast meteorologists, which actually our very first client was Amber Sullins, who is at ABC 15 in Phoenix and is a graduate of our department. And they tell us what other viewers want to know about. We then create a graphic with them. We hire our own professional graphic designers because we have to have really high quality stuff if it's going to be on TV and seen by thousands or millions of people. But it's that real world experience that was mentioned before. We're preparing students for careers and connecting them with water issues, which if you live in the state of Arizona, you can't get away from the concept of water. We have real clients. The students also have the opportunity to work remotely because I'm based in New York. So most of our meetings as a team are actually held via Zoom. We use breakout rooms. They learn how to communicate and collaborate with other people, giving and receiving feedback. And they just walk away with a very, maybe different experience than they might have had if they had just been sitting in a classroom and having lectures on this topic or doing a project that all they did was present it to the other students in the class.
And this is since they're working with clients all across the country with meteorologists and different TV stations all across the country, the Zooming part of it is part of the nature because they can't all of them jump on a plane and go visit each of the meteorologists, so using Zoom. So having you based in New York actually is a benefit because you're on that side of the country and they're over here, and it all kind of works out and you get the exposure across the country that you need for this kind of a project. So Dr. Margolis, this is important that these types of projects like WaterWise, which gives students this practical experience that Sarah was talking about, where they learn the research and they see it and they are exposed to it in the classroom, but then they get to go practice it in the real world and actually perform some duties and some research and do some things out in the real world. This is important for a land-grant university and for getting students excited about research.
Well, it goes well beyond that. So it's really important for getting students excited. They can actually see the impact they're having amongst their neighbors. But it really is important for making a student community or with a group of students that have a common goal. And that goal is something that you can see being accomplished. And it really helps with student retention and student graduation rates and all the things that we think are very important as a land-grant university to train the next generation of people that are going to make our world a better place.
That's great. You talked, Sarah, about water being the important thing, and a very important thing in a place like Tucson in southern Arizona where we have limited water. We got a little monsoon action coming through the next couple of weeks, hopefully to kind of restore the reservoirs a little bit. But it's a continuing process. Over the last 50 years, water has become a political issue as well as a survival issue. And of course, the treaties on the Colorado River water and the new technology of capturing rainwater and kind of storing it for the future and so forth. All of these things are really important to a desert community like Tucson. So from a hydrology and climate perspective, what are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about water in the desert?
Well, one of the reasons why we are partnered with the airport in particular is because that's where a lot of the out-of-town visitors are coming in to the state. Right. And as somebody who's originally from the Midwest, then I moved to Arizona, now I'm back up north in New York, I can attest that people outside the desert think that it never rains in the desert. They aren't familiar with the idea of a monsoon season, and they don't think about flooding. They don't think that that could be something that could impact people. One of my biggest shocks as a meteorologist when I moved to Tucson was the fact that you have stationary severe thunderstorm warnings. The fact that storms would just pop up and sit in one spot and cause flooding where you might be all the way down the hill and think, oh, I'm perfectly fine. I don't have anything to worry about. Those storms are happening up in the mountains when, in fact, you might be right by a wash or in a wash and could actually be in significant danger. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions people have about water in the desert who don't live in the desert and haven't had that experience with the monsoons. And even for people who live in the desert, I think just more broadly, people underestimate the power of water. It takes 6 inches of fast moving water to knock a person off their feet. 12 inches, 1 foot of fast moving water can lift a small car, and not much more than that can lift even larger things. So we really do have to think about when water is on the move, how powerful it can be.
That's great. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about the WaterWise program and its promotion at the airport and getting undergraduates involved. And we'll talk a little bit more with Dr. Margolis about research and getting students excited about doing research and solving some of our world's problems. You're listening to Wonder on The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break and a little bit more about water in the desert. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. This is Wonder, our Friday segment. brought to you by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on historic 4th Avenue. If you haven't had good Italian food lately, get down to Caruso's. It's wonderful. By the way, I'm going to give you, Dr. Margolis, a certificate for, that's for Caruso's. Take your wife down to Caruso's and enjoy that. Sarah, I can't give you one because you're in New York, but when you come to Tucson, I'll get you one. We're talking this morning with Dr. Margolis. He is a part of the VIP program, which is to encourage young people to get involved in vertical integrated programs and be involved in research. Good morning again, Dr. Margolis.
Good morning, and thank you. We love Caruso's.
Oh, great. Fantastic. And Sarah Kobilka, she is in New York right now, a little bit outside of New York City, and she is one of the key people working with the Water Wise program, and Wise is spelled W-H-Y-S. Sarah, could you tell us a little bit about working with being at the airport and what that means? Obviously, you said that all those people are coming in. We say at the opening of our show, 7 million visitors come to Tucson, and quite a few of those come in through the airport. Why is that an important thing? And what do you have out there that gets people excited about understanding water?
Came together because Chelsea Peters, who is a warning coordination meteorologist at the National Weather Service, was brainstorming with local TV meteorologists about how they could keep people more safe with Arizona's unique weather. And one of those people who was at the meeting suggested, hey, why don't you partner with the airport? They have so many people coming through. That's a great place to get a message in front of their eyes. Chelsea said, that's a great idea, but we don't have the capacity to create that kind of graphic. So let's reach out to the Hydrology and Atmospheric Sciences Department. And they knew that we were already doing work of creating graphics for TV meteorologists to answer water questions, like why do flash floods happen after intense wildfires, or where does the water in the Colorado River come from? So we jumped on this opportunity. We got connected with Eric Hermenet, who's the senior communication specialist from the Tucson Airport Authority. And that's where we really started to figure out, like, what is our message going to be on? And we decided to focus on three main things. That's the heat, flash floods, and dust storms. And so our graphic designer, Ryan Hunt, created an amazing graphic for the sign that you see. So if you've ever flown into the airport and you've taken that escalator down to the luggage claim, there's a giant sign there, a giant monitor that says, welcome to Tucson. Biosphere 2 has some graphics there. And so we created a graphic to kind of warn people about those three things, because visitors don't often know about how dry heat is different than the heat that they're maybe used to. They've never heard of a term like wash, or they, as I mentioned before, never heard of a stationary severe thunderstorm like you have during monsoons. And then the term haboob makes them giggle, but they don't know what it is, though people in Chicago actually had one earlier this year. So they got to hear the word, but they really don't know what to do to stay safe during it. So it's really about safety and keeping people aware, with, of course, heat being the number one killer across the country, in fact, not right, just in Arizona, but being a huge problem in Arizona. How do we keep people safe and aware?
If someone wanted to get some more information about WaterWise, where would they go and what would they do? How would they learn some more about the WaterWise program?
Absolutely. Where our WaterWise website is waterwise.org. You can see all the cool graphics we've made. We also have a free visual SciComm seminar, science communication seminar, which Ed was actually one of our very first speakers in.
Yes,
that.
Yes, I
was.
It's
free. So you can sign up for that. Students,
I don't know if I was any good, but I had some fun with you guys. So
it was great to have you there. Students, they can register on the VIP website to join. Because it's in alphabetical order, you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom to find us. But we are still recruiting both undergrads and graduates for the upcoming fall semester. We're also on social media. WaterWise, W-H-Y-S-U-A. Is our handle. And then if you want to see what our graphic looks like, it's actually on the website for the airport, which is flytucson.com. On the left-hand side, you just go over, go down and see where it says Visit Tucson. And when you pull up that page, you're going to see what we've created for that first big sign. And this is just the first step in creating a lot of different animations and signs throughout the airport to help keep people safe.
That's great. Well, this is Wonder on the, we talk about the great things going on at the University of Arizona. So Dr. Margolis, I'm going to pin you down and ask you, what's one thing that you think is full of wonder at the University of Arizona?
Well, it's impossible to pick one thing. I know you, it sounds like you would say the football team.
Yeah.
I think that the wide array of research and experiential learning that we have is really maybe the top thing that I would pick at the University of Arizona. It's also one of the things that's very unique about our VIP program. The program was really originally designed to facilitate engineering studies, but we're really wide ranging. So in addition to the STEM sciences, we also have multiple teams that do arts. Arizona's a place that has the Biosphere 2. Mm-hmm. No one else in the world has that. They just have the Biosphere 1, which is the world we live in.
Right.
So we really just have a lot of very unique experiential learning opportunities that really encompass every discipline that U of A has. And the U of A VIP website is uavip.arizona.edu. And you can find a link to the WaterWise team there, as well as all of our other really awesome teams that we support.
Great. We thank you both for coming on today and talking to us from New York and from here in the studios at KVOI. We appreciate what your good work you're doing with especially undergraduates at the University of Arizona. This is Wonder. It's brought to you by Caruso's and Hughes Federal Credit Union. We thank you both, and we hope you enjoy some wine tomorrow at Dr. Margolis down in Sonoyta. And Sarah, we'll talk to you soon. That's it for today.